Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. My name is Paul Harvey, and I'm looking for answers. What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to have a good, well-lived life? This podcast is conversations with people that look like they have it sorted. Today's conversation is with Peter Stewart. I've known Peter for many years, and we first met at Toastmasters.
See, if only I had the same passion as I had then, because there's no way anybody was getting in my way. I remember a customer, he said, "Oh, I'd love you to work for me." He says, "You're so passionate."
I had a wonderful conversation with Peter Stewart. He told me how, as a child, a teacher changed the direction of his life, how he became a tank driver, a truck driver, a milkman, a pest control man, and above all, an entertainer. Listen to the end, because Peter has a challenge for you that you might be interested in taking. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the conversation with Peter Stewart.
Well, listen, you mentioned life. I'm very lucky to be here in life itself, because when my mother fell, she fell into a fire when she was seven.
Right.
And thanks to plastic surgeons from World War II, she was saved. There were a lot of skin grafts, but she was seven and she was told she'll never have children.
Wow.
So that was that. And then she got married, and 7 years after the marriage, it's a life of sevens, by the way, and I came along.
Wow.
And then 7 years after that, my sister came along.
All right. Definitely the life of sevens then.
A life of sevens for me. And then, so that was the story. Grew up. Unfortunately, it wasn't a very good marriage. It was a horrible marriage. So hence, I didn't like my childhood. Mm-hmm. And so something happened in my life that a school teacher struggled at school. He asked us. His name's Bob Ewan. He's passed away recently. Made sure I got to his funeral when I seen it in the paper. Because that man changed my life. He made us write an essay of what we were going to do. Now, an essay of what we were going to do with life. I think I was about 14 at the time. And I'd written down everything that I wanted to do.
Wow.
And looking back, by age 27, I'd accomplished everything that I wanted to do. And it was amazing by writing it down. So that's what I say to people now. Write it down. Write down what you're going to do. The only problem is I never wrote it again. it was quite easy. I was going to join the British Army, which I did. I was going to have my own car, which I got, and I became a tank soldier in Berlin. And then the other thing I said that I wanted to be a lorry driver. So I managed to get a lorry driver's license. It was little things, but it meant a lot to me. And then I said that one day, if I ever get something that I enjoyed, I would like to have my own business. And that's, I heard there was a job going in a national pest control business. And when I heard about it, I was no mucking about, no CVs. I was straight down and I knocked on the door of the company and told them that I was available, and I got the job. It helped that the manager was an ex-soldier as well.
That would help, wouldn't it?
So that was a bit of networking. Birds of a feather flock together, and then I got. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought, this is the one for me. So I left them, and I like to think I'm a fairly straight sort of person, you know.
Yeah.
And I was under a restrictive covenant, and I left, and I left the industry for the period of time that I wasn't allowed to set up in business on my own. So I'd done it, and then I built up But it wasn't easy because I had no money. So I actually had to get a job as a milkman, and I delivered milk, and then I delivered milk, and then I started my business part-time. I've always worked it like that. Biggest regret is not having the money to do what I wanted to do. And then I built my business up part-time until one of them had to go, and I said goodbye to the milk job. And that was fantastic because I didn't have to get up at 3 in the morning anymore.
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? 3 in the morning.
And that was it. And that's how I set up my first pest control business.
But you're an early morning pest controller, were you?
Well, I kind of I got my
Getting
head
used to getting up
thrown
at
open.
three, you were there, often there early.
Oh, I was up at 3, I delivered the milk, came home, had a wash and shave, and then I went out and sold. You
Right.
know, if I'd come home and went to bed, I would never have got up again because I was too tired. And I'd done that for over a year. And on a Sunday, I delivered the newspapers from the train station. So I didn't have a long lie in bed on a Sunday. I was up doing that too.
Wow.
It was extremely hard. Fittest I've ever been.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's where I got to today. That's just the first part of my story,
Yeah.
as far as that's concerned.
There must
Yeah.
be, I mean, to there's clearly some areas of passion in there, because I mean, this is all about life, passion and business. And you've got to believe passionately you want to do these things to be able to push yourself to get up at 3 in the morning and to do this stuff.
Oh, gee, if only I had the same passion as I had then, because there's no way anybody was getting in my way. I remember a customer, he said, "Oh, I'd love you to work for me." He says, "You're so passionate." And it's just, you've got to be, if you're not passionate about your own business, to anybody listening in, pack up, go back and get a job. Because you've got to be passionate in what you do, and it's been great, and that's what kept me going, just not wanting to give up, you know. Yeah, so yeah, and that's what I do. Be passionate. I say to people, be passionate about your business,
So
and you'll get
you
along.
are you still in that business? I mean that's when did you start your business?
That was around about 1986, and
Quite low. It's 30
yeah,
years
it's a quite a lot of, yeah, I know.
ago.
And what happened is, one of the biggest mistakes I made was the business took over my family life, and unfortunately, I got divorced, and I gave everything I had away, and I ended up with nothing, and I ended up in London, and I had no money the next week. I had no money. And I went, and it's about, remember what I said about network, knowing birds of a feather flock together. A friend of mine from Aberdeen, who used to be a soldier as well, we kept in touch all the life. And remember the heavy goods lorry I told you about? I got
Oh,
my lorry license. Well,
yeah.
that saved my life because I had that, I was able to get a job in London. And it was being a soldier again because I had a metal locker, a metal bed, and a metal chair. And that's all I had in my life, and a credit card bill. And
What year was that?
that was me. I was 45 at the time, so 57 now. Work out, I'm not still not good at math, so yeah,
Yeah.
a few years back. And so that was that, and things changed then. So I just went away and I worked, and I took a year out really living in London, and I absolutely loved it. I'd not a care in the world, as long as I could pay the credit card bill, and that was me happy. And then came a big change in my life because people would come up to me and say, "Excuse me." He goes, "Yeah, you don't half look like that guy from the X Factor, Lee Walsh. This is really." And my friend phoned the studios or an agency, and it ended up on the X Factor.
All
And yeah, I ended up in the X Factor as Louis' lookalike, and I got filmed. And yeah. So that gave me some work. I used to go filming with them, doing things that he wouldn't do, stupid things that he wouldn't do.
right.
And that happened there, so I got some money for that. And then the biggest change in my life was I was so happy, but I was still having problems at home with the money and everything. And my friend says, "Why don't you just give it away to everything to her?" And you know, so I did it. I did it the next day. I said, "Well, just take everything." That was it. and I had the best sleep I've ever had. And I woke up in the morning, and my accountant in Aberdeen phoned me up and he said, "Well, I've got some news for you." He said, "You've got £400 back from the tax." And I went, "Oh, well, that's good. That's a good start." He says, "But the year before, because you are self-employed and you're paid an account," I went, "Oh, no. Tell me what it is." He says, "You're getting 10,000 back from the tax, man." I says, "Oh, lovely." And what I've done with that is I then bought a van and I came back to Aberdeen and I started my little pest control business again.
All right, okay.
Employing people and employing people again. But because of the X Factor, I became a singer.
All right.
I became a part-time singer in Aberdeen. I do a bit of Frank Sinatra, things like that.
Did you always sing? Because that's like...
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't always sing, but a guy reminded me on Facebook a few years back, you know, a lot of people getting in touch from our early army days. When I said I'd do a bit of part-time singing, he says, "Well, that doesn't surprise me because you were always singing in the back of the lorry." I said, "Oh, was it?" And I didn't realise it. So I went and I was singing somewhere. And I got it videoed, and when I looked at it, it was absolutely, I says, "Oh no, look at my stage presence." And then I went and I found out about a thing called Toastmasters, and I went there, and I done quite well there. I won a lot of competitions.
Yes, I saw you perform at Toastmasters. In my early days in Toastmasters, you came to one of our events. I think you even won it. I think you did, actually.
That was up in some Elgin area.
It was in Forest. It was in the school in Forest. And I seem to remember you finished it with some hat on with a seagull stacking out the top of your hat.
That's the one. I actually came third in Glasgow. And that was within 6 months of joining Toastmasters. But I've got to tell you, I was in another competition up there. And you're put in a back room. And it's the nearest you'll get to an execution because you're sitting in a back room and you're called for and you're brought and you walked. I walked along the corridor. It was an eerie place we were at. And I walked along the corridor and I was placed in front of everybody. and I know what it's like to be executed now. I'd done that. And then a magician here in Aberdeen, who I remember, he says, "Peter, do you know that you're very good at looking at people and picking up the things that they do and where they can improve?" So I went to America and became a trainer. I went over to America and I came back as a fully qualified public speaking trainer.
Was that with Toastmasters or different organizations?
No, it's with Toastmasters. This is done to some major countries. Okay. The training has been given to. But when I came back to Aberdeen and spoke about my own pest control business, I haven't been able to take it anywhere at the moment because I'm busy. Because every time I speak, I get more work. So I do a lot of networking. That's what I do. I go networking, Facebooking, using everything I can to get out there and tell people about my business and say, "Hey, we're here. This is how we would help."
I mean, the one thing about your business being pest control, it is a never-ending journey. You know, every hotel and every restaurant needs you. That's it.
Yeah, well, they should need us under the Food Safety Act 1990, due diligence defence. But a lot of people don't know it's not law to have pest control. However, if you look at the interpretation of the Food Safety Act, then it would be advisable to have pest control. Because I know down here that one of the first things that ask is from an environmental health officer, they'll say, "Can I see a pest control book?" And if they say, "No, I don't have one," and I have had people call out, "So what do you do?" "Oh, we'll look after ourselves." So not very well, because there's mouse droppings there. And then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, as you say, so it's a busy trade to be in, and you build it by networking primarily.
I build it networking. Mm-hmm. That you've got when you go to, this is one thing you learn as a young soldier, is when you go to war, and marketing is war, you go to war with artillery, you go to war with naval guns, you go with your tanks, your soldiers, your logistics. And what you do is you've got to use every bit of marketing that's out there. And that is things like Facebook, direct marketing, networking. Give talks about your business, inform and educate, SEO, pay-per-click. These are things that all I've picked these all up myself.
Yep.
Appear on television, be a so-called expert. Let them know, yeah, I know a bit about that. And if you don't know about it, bluff it and read up before it. Yeah, so that's everything I've used, everything. Get your name and your vehicles. Everything, every bit of marketing. Have a good uniform. My guys are now back to wearing ties and people are impressed the way they will look. So, and over the years, I've just put you, and I keep looking for what should I be doing next? Yeah, so you just don't know where it's coming from next. Very much an emergency business to begin with. But I need to go the direct marketing route again. I need to look to do that again.
So it's interesting you say that. I met a networking guy many, many years ago, and I mean computer networking. You know, he built, put cables in. And he said, the one thing you need to remember about communication, he said, it's all comms. Absolutely everything in life is about communication. Computers, people, things, everything. It's all about communication. And it's fascinating when you think of it, it all breaks down. Everything, whenever there's a problem anywhere, it always comes down to communication.
Communication.
Or the lack of it.
Yeah. And it's a story I give when I do talks about communications in my business. I've done a few talks on it. I usually do my talk about when I was a young soldier in Berlin, and it was when the wall was up and the siren went off. It was horrible. And we had to rush out within 50 minutes, the first three tanks, onto the street, turn right, then turn right. And we sat at the wall waiting, three tanks. But not one of us could be able to, we couldn't communicate with our radios. And worse, when the rest of the squadron come out, turn right, and they turn left in the opposite direction.
Away from the wall.
Yeah, away on the other side, down towards Brandenburg. And when eventually they realised what happened, a Land Rover come up and a Sergeant Major come on. And he found that each individual tank had not been tuned in properly because we were new young operators from Britain. And we got into trouble, and it was a learning curve for me. So that's why I've got a 24-hour number that is answered 24 hours a day from a pest control business, and people get in touch with us by they send a text, and people want that telephone answered. And that was a big learning curve. Communications with your customers are absolutely vital. Also, communications with your customer after you've been to them, which I've really got to work on that too. That's probably a weak point for me. But the men talk to them. I don't the same anymore.
There's a lovely saying in marketing terms, and this is obviously slightly, well, it's on topic and off topic. It's, you know, but it fits under the business. You know, I always love the thing about when you look at car advertising on television, a lot of car advertising is there to protect against buyer remorse.
Right, okay.
And buyer remorse is one of the biggest factors in killing or killing future sales or damaging the sale you've got. So buyer remorse is the fact that someone's bought a car in the car industry, mm-hmm. and they show them this car and they show them the person they want to be. That's why car adverts always, you know, family car adverts is always the perfect family. And so yeah. The person can look at it and go, I bought that car. I must be the perfect family. It kind of reinforces their own image of themselves.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So buyer remorse, in a way, when you recommunicate with someone in terms of after yeah. the event, if you recommunicate and give them the values of what they've got by recommunicating with them, you're reinforcing yeah. the message. So they go, so, you know, we've done in, we've been in, we've put in, you know, sort of several line traps here. We've done this. So you're going to be protected from this, and this. You suddenly yes. told them what you've done, and you're safe now. Oh, yeah. Great! I've got this. I'm safe.
that's good. Well, recently I do solar panels. We stopped birds getting under solar panels, and we've got a system now. It's been absolutely brilliant. So I put out a Facebook boost with a before and after, with a smiley face and a crying face to begin with. And I'm amazed at the reaction that's been given. And even today, I've had someone contact me with that. You're right, having that happy customer. I'll tell you what's really been good for my business with marketing about buyer remorse. As a lot of business did not know this. The law changed, the European law of selling on your doorstep. You know about that one, yeah? Well, it's changed. It's changed in the respect that if it used to be, if someone knocked on your door to sell, you had to have a period of time. But any service provider now going to someone's house have got to give them a form that's got 14 days notice on it. Right? That's the change. And if it's an emergency, you can only charge to £170 or €170, whatever it is. And so what we do now is, and it's actually been great because we got a form made and we go there and we say to them right to the beginning, here's the form, here's your right to cancel. But if you want us to go ahead today, you sign this bit to say you're quite happy for us to go ahead with the work. Otherwise, we'll come back on the 15th day to deal with your problem. It's up to you, but we're telling you that's the law. And, you know, it's been fantastic for business because people sign it and then we do a risk assessment on the doorstep as well, if it's a house. Well, it's mainly for householders. And something that people are scared to use has actually been very good for my business marketing because we know we're legal business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's been really good.
Yeah.
Something that people probably, a lot of people probably don't know about that one, Paul.
Probably not, actually. Probably not, but people, I guess the thing is people don't realise. They look at regulation and they think regulation is a bad thing. And it is in some levels. I agree. There are some places where regulation gets so difficult. But at the same token, if you can use regulation to your advantage, it's a bonus. And I mean, the biggest campaigners for strong regulation is the waste industry.
Right. Okay. And well, because, in my industry,
well, they want stronger regulation because if you're a big waste processor. The stronger the regulation you can put in, the stronger your position is because you're keeping the people out of the marketplace. Because if people have got to climb over a big mountain or a big fence to try and get in your business, you know, if you've got to have this in place, it means that you're defending your business. So regulations have been good for some aspects of it.
Yeah. Well, being in the pest control industry, it surprised you to know that we are not licensed.
That does surprise me, actually.
There you go. However, we worked a code of conduct.
Yep.
And you now have to have training before they will supply. It was too easy to come into our market. And it's something we wanted licensing, believe it or not. We wanted licensing, but the government wouldn't give us it because we were too safe. There you go. And how's us dealing with poisons and things like this? We were too safe. There are a couple of things we've got to have a license for, like gassing. We've even got to have an air rifle license now in Scotland. But it's something that we had a problem with, you know, very much controlled by Europe. And that's why a lot of pest controllers actually voted for Brexit.
Yeah.
Because at one point they were going to take all the rodenticides off us, and we really had to fight them. Because people, well, what are you going to do without it? Say, well, before we had the British Standards Institute, and we'll just go back to that.
So,
we'll have to. Yeah. So it affects us big time. So that's.
It's interesting you say about air rifle license. I don't think Tesco's admits they have someone come in and shoot the birds that get into the store.
Well, shooting is something that, again, can be dramatic. But again, you don't really have to do that. You've got to explore all of the methods. And a lot of people don't know this either, Paul. You've got to have a license to do that too, a general license. And you've got to have a reason. There are only three in Britain, aircraft safety, crop protection, and public health act to protect the public. And that's why you would do it. But there are quite a few methods out there now.
Sure. So back to your story. I mean, that was an interesting interlude about, obviously you're very passionate about your business. I can hear it in your way, how you talk about it.
Yeah.
And the fact that you go and spread the message. But what about you? What about life? What's the future for you? Where are you going now?
Well, the future for me is I'm sitting to wait and go in operation, a major operation, and hope I recover from that. And then I'm going to have a change of life, because one thing that I didn't do in my life is, I've given everything to my business.
Okay.
And what I've learned recently, right? And if you're a small business, listen to this, one man operator or whatever, get bigger, surround people around about you who can take the burden from you. And I've done that recently. I've gave one of my guys, he goes around and does the selling for me now. He's also a supervisor. And I took a conscious decision not to work off the van anymore. And it's been really good for the business. It's left me to do my marketing and dealing with all other aspects of the business. And there comes a time that you've got to outsource. And I'm very much an outsourced person. My phone calls are outsourced. Everything's outsourced to give me spare time. But having said that, I get guilty when I've got a lot of spare time. And what I've done now, Paul, is I've worked smarter.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd worked smarter years ago, because it is giving me time now, and I'm going to have more holidays. I'm going to spend more time with my partner, and she's retired now, and it's been great for her. And we're just going to have to enjoy our things a bit more. But being a singer as well, I'm always on the go. I'm one of these guys, it's always on the go, and I would hate to sit down and retire for good. I don't think that's ever going to happen. You know, but it's trying to get that life balance. After the operation, I went to get back on the bicycle. I used to be 15 and a half stone at one stage, and now I'm down to 11 stone eight. And I want to, I've got, I, like a traveling man had, stopped me one day, and he said, he seen me and he looked at me. He says, do you know something? Never met you. He says, but you've got a happy look about life. And I have. I'm one of these guys. I'm a bit like Marmite. People say, oh no, it's Peter. And either do a runner or they come and chat to me and hopefully brighten up their day. And so I'm going to enjoy my life.
What is the secret to, you know, what is the secret to life, business and passion? You know, what is your secret?
I think you've got to get the mix. You've really got to get the mix right. And if you're doing, a consultant came in to me and he said, what do you pay your guy or guys? And I said, this. He says, okay. He said, get them to do all the work. Never you go out and do a bit of work again when they can do it. And that's the mix. It's letting go. That's maybe what you're looking for in business. Letting go so others can give them their chance. And if you ever get a chance, look at Jack Ma's speech about it. I won't tell you his speech. Jack Ma, that's him that set up Alibaba. And I looked at that recently and I said, wow, he is so right. He is so right. Because at my age, I should be, well, I am kind of semi-retired now. I'm taking it a bit easier. And go and work hard, but remember your family. Don't make the mistake of remember your family, because you could lose them.
It is about the connections you make and the people you meet, life, really. That's my sense of it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trappings or the successful, you know, the physical success things, they're not really relevant.
No.
The new iPhone is fascinating on day one, but after day three or four, it's just another phone.
Yes, that's right. And listen, you're not going to be the richest of people when you're in self-employed. What a lot of people don't realise is some self-employed are just making a living. Some of them are on minimum wage at times because profits have got down. And you've just got to make the best of your business and be happy out of it. And if you feel it's too much strain for you, you've got to say, am I really built for this? Should I move on back to a job? And one day you'll make that decision. There will be hard times being self-employed. But no, that's and what I've also learned to do, Paul, is say no.
Yes, that's a really good valuable point, isn't it? Because it's not what you, it's not because you can only say yes so many times, and it's the ability to say no. There's the things that don't really match or fit with what you can do that make a difference.
Right, yeah. So, because someone asked me to come and give a talk the other day, and I said, no, I think you should go back and get this sort of person to do it from the club. And because I've done a few of these now, it's time to pass that on to someone else. Because I used to stress myself with taking on too much. And when I said, I felt guilty at first, I said, but no, but if you put it in a nice way, they'll accept your no. Maybe in the future, or maybe whenever, but at the moment I'm too busy with my own life.
At the beginning of this conversation, you said you'd written an essay when you were 14.
Yeah.
You're going to write another one?
I think I'll have to, and I'll have to involve retirement.
Yeah.
But it's true. That's why people make a business plan.
Yeah.
Make your life plan. If I ever get a chance to speak to school kids, and that's what I'm saying, I'd ask them to bring out a bit of paper and write down the life plan. What are you going to do with the life? And they found, I don't know what one it was, but I looked, the graduates that wrote down what, had written down what they were going to do with their life, those are the ones that were successful.
So here's a question for you, which you can choose to answer. So how do you want to be remembered? Yeah.
I want to be remembered as a funny little chap that brightened people's day up. I think that's how I'm known in Aberdeen, you know. And I just like to have a bit of fun. I don't take life too serious, that's for sure. I used to, and I became ill with it. But no, just be happy. A happy little chap that walks about Aberdeen waving to everybody. that's what I would probably remember that.
And know? So, all right, you said be happy. So what is happiness? Because most people actually don't have a real understanding of what happiness is. They think they're happy, but yeah. Actually, what is happiness?
Just being content with yourself, really. Yeah. Don't look at others now and be jealous of them. You see people with their big Mercedes or whatever, and they're walking about there. But if you dig deep, a lot of them are miserable because they're scared to lose it all. Be happy with your lot. When people try to sell to me, I don't want it. I just say, listen, I'm happy with my lot. You'll get that in the Bible. And I am. I'm just happy the way I am now, doing what I want to do when I want to do it. You still need money coming in, but don't go out there and be the richest, because that's the thing that could make you feel.
I can't remember who it was now, but it was someone who was relatively wealthy was saying this. He said one thing he came to realize is if you're unhappy when you've got no money and you make a load of money, you're still going to be bloody unhappy. you got to sort that bit out first, because it's not going to change.
Yeah. No, I mean, and then if there was another survey a few years back, the happiest people in their jobs, who it's the lowest paid jobs, were zookeepers, people that worked in the gardens, you know, seeing the flowers blooming every year and seeing the bright colours in the garden, happy with a lot. People that maybe work in the welfare sector, helping other people, they're happy, a lot of your businessmen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's you've got to find a purpose with passion, be happy.
Yeah.
And bring those values out in your everyday life, really. That's for me, I don't know.
Yeah. But. Because it'll come to you. I mean, as things I've done in the past that have come to fruition now, I'll tell you now, I used to be a person that was very vengeful. But now I just say, right, hey, take it easy, Peter. Things will come your way. Just go. I'll tell you the best story I ever had. Best thing I ever done. And it was a time when I was doing wasp nest. And so I went out to a wasp nest and I met this lady. And I could see a book on her table and it said, Life at Bletchley Park. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes.
For the listeners, it's a place where basically saved our lives, yeah, during the Second World War. And they weren't allowed to tell anybody, and I still get choked about it. So I was doing it. I was a couple of young lads putting in a window for her. Very prim and proper woman. She must have been 80-odd. And I said, you were there, weren't you? And she says, yes. She said, how did you know that? I says, I can just tell you worked there. And I says, yeah, well, thank you very much for your service. And she says, how much am I owe you? And I says, you're not worth me a penny. We are owe you. I says, look, this comes to £60. And you can have this on me. And I says, you guys take care of this lady. And what really got my pulse, she said to me, excuse me, because it still gets me. She said, you know, that's the first time I've been paid back in 60 years.
Cool.
And I jumped in my van and I went around the corner and the phone rang. It was a guy. He says, Peter, I've got a job here for you. I'll take it. It's £1,500 order. I says, thank you very much.
Yes. Yes, as you sow, so shall you reap.
Yeah.
And you give out with one thing and it comes back with another. Absolutely.
So every now and then I give something extra customer that they're not suspecting.
Yeah.
You know, just something little they don't expect. Yeah, yeah. But that was probably one of the highlights in my career because, you know, I'm really into World War II and all the things that they've done for us, you know, and what a payback for me.
Absolutely. You know?
What a payback.
Well, anyway, Peter, thank you for your time with this. It's been a lovely conversation with you. Is there anything else that you think you'd just like to say? You know, because I know I'm going to have to wind this up at some point, and I don't want to because I'm quite enjoying our conversation. But I guess, you know, we do need to stop at some point. So is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, just when you, I'll tell you what you all need to do. This is what I need you to do. If you have listened to this, I want you to write down what you are going to do with your life. If you've never done this before, write it down. And over the years, I want you to keep in touch with Paul and say that guy had it on really changed my life because I stuck to what I was going to do. And I'm so glad I did. And if one of you do this, or listen to this, I will be absolutely delighted for you.
That's fantastic. That's great. Thank you, Peter. That's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that was Life, Passion and Business with Peter Stewart. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Peter and myself. He is a truly remarkable man and so fascinating to talk to. Always got a good story to say. So if you have enjoyed this conversation, please, please, please like this podcast and subscribe or follow because there are going to be loads of interesting and fascinating stories to follow. So what remains me to say is thank you for listening and I hope I catch you again.